Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Today, I'm actually wearing my bearded look because I am finally rocking a two-week fantasy to where I had 2 weeks off of drag. That's why the podcast hasn't been updated since then. I'm really excited to be back and to share you all the stories that I have from my vacation, my trips, and there's some other hot-button topics that I'd like to talk about coming in the future weeks. But finally, I wanted to open with a story that I had posted online. I work in corporate America, and there was a person who worked at my job who, for lack of a better term, I felt like was incredibly bullying me. It was this white woman, and it really sucked, like, having this person in my life, because we were friends at one point, and then when we weren't friends any longer, I felt like she made it her personal goal in life to, like, make my life a living hell. And I let her talk to me however she so chose, and we had lots of conflict mediation between the two of her because I'm really good at those skills. But then what ended up happening is, like, one time she kind of, like, stepped into my area a little bit too aggressively, and I had, for lack of a better term, like, called her out on it a little. And I sent her a direct message about getting out of my space. And what happened was, from that point, she reported me to HR. And then when I was in the meeting with HR, they kept using the term, which for all of you listeners out there should know this, calling a black person aggressive in 2024 is just a really disgusting way of doing that, especially. So they kept saying, "You are aggressive, you are aggressive, you are aggressive." And it really hurt my feelings, of course, and I felt incredibly dejected and couldn't defend myself very well. I kept saying, "Well, there's history between me and this person. I've reported them to HR. You guys have done nothing to help me with this situation in any capacity." I was like, "I don't feel like we're building bridges or we're moving forward." I was like, "You're not doing anything to help me." And they kind of just didn't help in that regard, and that really sucked. But the reason I can talk about it now is that was an interim HR director, and this other person no longer works for the company. And so I feel okay saying these things on a podcast that may or may not get shared. It was really hurtful it really does suck sometimes to live as a black person and then have terms thrown at you to make you seem like you're the aggressor in situations when a white woman can cry. And, you know, and I always say that white women tears are like some of the most deadly things for black people in general, because as we've been talking about on the internet, the whole bear versus the woman conversation, there's a new flavor to it where black women are being asked, if you were sitting alone in a conference room, I think is how it started, would you prefer the person you were meeting with to be a white man or a white woman? Or like what, I think it's like a white man or a white woman. And like a lot of the black women are saying out there that they'd prefer the white man because white women have a way of making a situation grow in a way that's really hurtful and harmful, and like can be like, they started talking about, you know, the whole CYA scenario and like, this is what happens when this happens and da 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 da. And like, I get it. I fully get it. Because I finally stood up to this person, and I'm in an HR meeting with my boss. And there was another white man at the company who was actually really mean to me, and I pulled him to a side conversation, and we kind of had it out. And now him and I are good friends. He still works at the company, because I won't let myself be treated in a way I don't like to be treated. Like, and I will use all the tools in the toolbox that I have. I remember watching a TikTok that was somebody, it was a voiceover that basically said, be like, how can I politely say in an email, I would whoop this person's ass without getting fired? And then, because it was the scenario, it was like, they started they were talking about this employee and the work they didn't do well, but they weren't including them on the change. Be like, and so the joke was like, next time you feel the need to have a conversation without me, please CC me on it or you will CC these hands. And I thought that was hilarious. Which actually, talking about business, I have a lot of new ventures coming up in the future weeks, especially because the Pride Months are about to happen. So stay tuned for that. But I hope you guys enjoy this next segment. I did have an interview that I did that I'm really happy to share with all of you. So also, I guess we should touch base. How are you doing, listeners? Let me know in the comments. Are you ready for a dazzling event that celebrates the artistic expressions of BIPOC, queer, and trans performers from around the Pacific Northwest? look no further than Marla Darling Presents the Cascadia Drag Festival. Join us for three unforgettable days of empowerment, creativity, and jaw-dropping performances at the Clinton Street Theater. This is the event that recognizes, elevates, and celebrates the incredible talent within our community. Friday, May 24th, kicks off the festival with the Drag Danger Zone, a new works showcase hosted by the fabulous Valerie DeVille. Witness the birth of fresh, boundary-pushing performances from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. But the excitement doesn't stop there. Get ready for the Lash Bash, a fashion party like no other, hosted by the extraordinary Wolfgang X. This event will have you dancing the night away with DJ sets by One Half Nelson. Join us from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. and let your inner fashionista shine. Saturday, May 25th, is the Day of Drag, and we have this incredible lineup for you. From 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., be captivated by the hosting prowess of Coco Jam Holiday. Then from 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m., Nashville Hot will take the stage and leave you in awe. But wait, there's more. Sugar Pill will bring their unique flair to the festival from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., followed by iZonny's captivating performance from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Get ready to be amazed by the incredible talent gracing our stage. And on Sunday, May 26th, we have the Matinee Show that you won't want to miss from 1 p.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. Exoskeleton and Macaroni and Cheese will host a show that will leave you smiling, laughing, and feeling inspired. Don't miss out on this extraordinary event. Tickets are available now at the Clinton Street Theater website. Join us at the Cascadia Drag Festival and be a part of the celebration that embraces diversity, talent, and the power of artistic expression. Marla Darling presents the Cascadia Drag Festival. Get your tickets today on the Clinton Street Theater website.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into what they tell you podcast. Check
it out. And we are back, listeners, and it is with my great pleasure to introduce my Auntie Stacy. Say hi, Auntie Stacy.
Hi.
Yeah, that's her. I've known her since birth, because she's older than I am. And she's also currently in the process of braiding my hair. Right now we're in Lake Havasu, Arizona. Doing our annual family trip. So, Auntie Stacy, I have a couple of questions for you to get us started.
All right,
cool. So, state for the record. No, so, what is it like living in Lake Havasu? Because you've lived here for a few years now.
Yes. So, technically, I've been here 5.5 years. So I would say living in a remote town is way different than living in Denver, Colorado. So although I live in this remote town, I work in Denver, Colorado. So one big thing is it's a tourist town, and it took me a while to realize that this whole economy is based on tourism and visitors. And I was kind of surprised because I thought where I moved, I thought, okay, that's where I'll be working. But then realizing it's a tourist town, a remote town, most of the careers here are either real estate or you're working in a restaurant. So there's a lot of things I don't like because it's so far remote that there's no, you know, conveniences that I'm used to. My life is on Amazon. The local people are extremely nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's different. It takes getting used to, that's for sure.
I will say it's incredibly warm here. Mm-hmm. We went boating yesterday, which was great, and we went fishing and I caught nothing. The fish were being really rude about that. And so the other thing, so last night we watched a bunch of videos of me in drag. And an interesting point about this is I was watching the evolution of, so my mom wanted to see videos of me dancing, which I don't really dance that much anymore. And so I was showing this like progression of like where I was to where I am now. And I have to tell you right now that my knees have never hurt so much in my life, seeing how that crap that I was doing before. But what do you think of my performances, Auntie Stacy?
I was amazed and fascinating. I thought you did really, really well. And you still do really, really well. It was exciting and fun to watch and see the creativity and how you've evolved and professionalized it even more. I mean, I saw when you were like just starting out, but like you're a great performer and you've matured and made it a successful career. So I thought
Thank
it was
you.
Amazing.
Thank you. So one of these things about my podcast is I try to give my listeners some advice from people or, you know, just from in different areas of the world. So one of the things that I want to do for them, so I have a small business for my drag. So one of the advices that I want you to give out to the kids in kind of a generic sense is if they ever had like the idea of starting their own business, what advice would you give anybody who wants to start their own, like, you know, sole proprietorship or LLC or something like that, when they want to just get off the ground in, you know, with how nervous it is about knowing all the rules and regulations of starting a business. So what advice would you give to people for that?
Well, the very first thing I would say is you have to be extremely self-disciplined. Mm. You have to be able to make yourself get up, dress up, show up, do the work, put the work in, and you've got to do what it takes. You can't just expect everything to fall in your lap and know that it's a lot of hard work. So definitely being self-disciplined. The next thing I'd say is you definitely, once you do make money, make sure you always put away a little bit because you're going to need to pay taxes and or yourself and other people and have expenses, a business account. So, but my first thing would be to be very self-disciplined and then be very disciplined with the money and income that you make.
Yeah, so a bit about your history here, just for the listeners, so they know why we're talking about small businesses. Well, actually, let's start with your educational background. What is the highest level of school you've completed?
I got a Bachelor of Science in Computer Information Systems Management. So that was my highest level, although I've had a lot of different degrees in between that. I had a minor in psychology, also had a degree in business in general, but that kind of led me to being in the corporate world, obviously with network systems and computers and so on. But then after 24 years, I moved on to real estate. So, yeah.
So, talk about what actually, well, I thought you had your master's degree in something. I thought that was
I
true.
Wanted to get my master's degree, but I did not complete it.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense now. Mm-hmm. I have mine. It's in information technology management. I'm just so smart.
You are.
Yeah. So actually, one funny thing is a lot of my listeners know this. When I first moved to Portland, I was actually thinking about jumping into drag full time. But I wanted health insurance, so I didn't do that. Talk about taking the leap too, about, you know, because obviously you went from corporate America, probably having a boss, because there's always somebody above you, always.
Right.
And probably even managing teams or something like that, to going into business for yourself.
Yeah, so basically what happened in the corporate world, I was there, you know, again for 24 years, and then they wanted to start moving the computer systems. They kind of wanted to ship off certain segments of it to China and India. So they laid off basically all of the IT staff and at the same time wanted us to train the people in other places to take over our jobs. So it was an opportunity, in a sense, for me to then decide what did I really want to do when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized being a manager was one thing, but it was also like being a professional babysitter in my world. So I just wanted to work for myself and see if I could do it and make that leap. And I did. However, again, just being commission pay as a realtor, a self-employed contractor, is a big, huge step when you are just starting out. So takes a lot of money, takes a lot of self-discipline, takes a lot of time and effort to get, it's basically you got to depend on yourself to make money and to be successful, and you got to work really hard at it. So it wasn't an easy transition, but it is doable.
This is a good question. Was there ever a point in the first, like, let's say few months? Well, actually, no, let's dig a little deeper in that. So were you still working in corporate America when you made the switch, like where you were starting to get, so you still had income, or did you completely, like, quit your job, or did you retire, or, like, did you quit your job and then go full bore, or was there a crossover period?
Yeah, so basically, when they laid off all the IT departments, I actually was blessed to be able to have 1 year sabbatical.
Oh.
So I was able to kind of give myself 1 year to figure out what I wanted to try to do, and ended up going with the real estate side of things. Because I didn't see anything that paid what I thought I wanted to make So, yeah, so it was kind of forced upon me, but I had to make a decision within a year and go through training and whatnot to be able to hopefully get to where I am now and be a successful realtor.
That's really exciting. Okay. So were there ever moments in that first year, even though you were on your sabbatical, where you thought about did you ever think about quitting? Like being like, oh no, this isn't going to work, this is going to be too hard, my money, like, you know, money's not going to be coming in, like, was there ever a point you wanted to quit in your first year?
You know, once I set my mind to something.
You're like, I'm going to fail big.
You're going to sink or swim.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, I got to give it my all. And blood, sweat, tears, but got through it and did it. So no, didn't really want to quit. I mean, like any other job, you got good or bad. So as long as I had more pros, more good than I had bad, so to speak, or lows, I just felt it was worth trying. And then I found joy in helping people, getting that satisfaction of seeing the joy of people having their own place mm-hmm. or meeting their goals. Mm-hmm. It actually gave me a really deep satisfaction because it was like so exciting for someone to get their first home or their 15th home. And I actually really found myself loving it and just seeing people get really happy. But at the same time, there are some people, you know, they can get a home loan, the mm-hmm. disappointment and all that, and learning to just kind of communicate no matter which way it would end up, whether mm-hmm. they closed and bought a home or if they couldn't get their loan and had to wait, just finding positive ways to keep encouraging.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. So interesting that the other reason I bring that up is so recently, listeners, me and Autumn did lose a gig. It's a gig we've had for a couple years. It was a really high paying gig. And it was really, you know, it was hurtful, to lose that gig, but, because the numbers weren't turning out, but it still made me want to push forward on, you know, getting other gigs to take up that spot. And we did have some other gigs lined up for that spot too. So it was kind of fine in that regard. So next up, actually, I'm pause here.
Are you ready for a brunch experience like no other? Step into a world of glamour, laughter, and fabulousness at the Epitome Drag Brunch. Join us at Underbar, located at 1701 Half Broadway Street, Vancouver, Washington, 98663, for a spectacular event hosted by the one and only Coco Gem Holiday. Doors open at 11 o'clock a.m., but trust us, you'll want to arrive early to secure your spot for the most amazing drag brunch experience around. Picture this, the delectable brunch dishes, bottomless mimosas, and the electrifying performances by some of the fiercest drag queens in town. It's an extravaganza you won't want to miss. Epitome Drag Brunch takes place on the fourth Sunday of every month, so mark your calendars and get ready to slay. And here's the best part. Tickets are just $15 for pre-sale, but act fast because they go up to $20 at the door. Visit www.vancouverdragbrunch.com to secure your tickets today. We believe in inclusivity and community, which is why we offer 3 community tickets for those who want to join in the fun but might need a little extra help. Everyone deserves a chance to experience the magic of Epitome Drag Brunch. So gather your friends, unleash your inner diva, and join us for an unforgettable Sunday filled with glitter, glamour, and endless entertainment. See you at Epitome Drag Brunch. Epitome Drag Brunch, where every moment is a celebration of individuality and fabulousness.
So I want to talk about disappointment, because like I said, you know, me and Autumn lost that gig. So what advice do you have out there for people who, when they have setbacks, like big setbacks, when they're trying to start their own businesses?
Yeah, so what I would say is you can't let a setback set you back. You have to keep moving forward. So the way I kind of look at things is, what is the lesson that I can learn from this? So that, one, maybe it won't happen again, or two, maybe I can attempt whatever it may be a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So anytime there's a letdown or a disappointment, or even if there's a success, it's like, what is the lesson to learn from this? You know, being grateful and being thankful and being humble enough to realize, obviously, I make mistakes, I'm not perfect, and being able to, you know, accept that and just move forward.
Right. That makes sense. No, one of the things that has actually been interesting about me is that I also am in the same boat of where I will try my damnedest to make anything be successful that I put my mind to. My dad always said, Because most people out there do know that my last name is Williams, and my dad would always say, the reason we're called, this is such a stupid thing he used to say, but he used to always say, he's like, our last name is Williams because we will be able to complete whatever we put our minds to, which I always thought was a great quote, but as a kid, you think of that, you're like, oh yeah, I have superpowers, but, no, so, no, and it's true, and, you know, the funny thing about what you talked about with satisfaction of people, like, you know, getting this, you know, they're getting into their first home or their 15th home or the home for their kids or a present or something like that. I love that feeling of having those connections be made. One thing I've actually always wanted to know about real estate in this regard, do you keep in touch with your contacts after you, like, because I know my mom got, a calendar from the person who sold her home, like, 50,000 years ago. Do you still keep in contact with all of your contacts even after you sell them their home?
Absolutely. I mean, and it kind of goes both ways. If you have clients that you work with that you really love, absolutely you create a database where you have their name, mm-hmm. address, birth date, significant things, and you kind of, with technology now, you can mm-hmm. automate things to reach out to those people, whether it be whatever, birthday cards or just calling them up on certain momentous occasions. So yes, I absolutely keep track of every single client, even those who move out of state, so that I know how to reach back out to them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of marketing and advertising, but then with automation nowadays, it actually helps to make that process easier, and that's how I get a lot of times repeat business and referrals mm-hmm. and things mm-hmm. like that.
Okay. So one of the last three subjects I have for you, so this one's really important too, because as this is a drag-related podcast, this will be really interesting for my listeners. So marketing, when it comes to real estate, marketing is such a huge part of it, right? So before you have your email list and the, you know, the clients you've sold to, how do you market yourself out there? How do you get your name out there enough where people are going to choose your services versus the other bus stop or the other sign or the other billboard? Like, how do you market yourself? How do you stick out from the crowd?
Yeah, so basically it helps to be able to have experience. So if you're new to it, you want to kind of utilize the experience and years of whoever your mentors may be. But having experience counts a lot for a lot of people, because that's kind of one of the first questions people ask. How long have you been doing this? Mm. But, you know, then, so outside of that, it's trial and error. There's so many ways to market and advertise. So a lot of social media. Social media is really big.
Yeah. I did see you back in the day. You were
You
were wild on the social media. You got your name out there. Big and loud.
Exactly. And so that's another.
Oh, professional photo. I remember you and your husband had the professional photo shoot.
Yeah.
You know, the back-to-back with the white shirts and ties.
Yep, exactly.
I remember that. And then did you ever get, like, because I bet you were probably tracking your leads. Gosh, mm-hmm. that sounds so professional. So for the kids out there, the leads are basically like, you know, when you do get a lead from your phone numbers or your billboard or whatever like that, you have to track. It's really always good to track where those leads came from mm-hmm. to see which pieces of your marketing are being effective. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I do, and actually it's good for the kids out there listening to this. Sometimes at drag shows, towards the end of it, or when I'm passing out bingo cards at a bingo, I will ask them how they heard about the event. If they're like, oh yeah, we heard about it on Facebook, or if they're like, oh, we scanned the QR code of the poster that was in the bar, or if they're like, oh, our friends came last week, I pay attention to that and keep track of that to figure out which of my marketing mechanisms work. Of course, I'll still do a large spray of marketing to get people in, but it's always good to know how people are actually finding you.
Right.
So did you ever do the bus stop stuff?
I did. I've pretty much done everything you can think of doing. So I've done the benches at bus stops. I've done grocery store carts where the little thing that you put down to set, I don't know what you call it, but at the front of a grocery cart, advertised on that, and then the little stopper in between separating groceries, advertised on that, pharmacy bags, advertised on that, and even giving out certificates of various things to help other independent contractors with their businesses. So like, hey, you can get a free massage if you close with me, or those sorts of things. So pretty much everything you think of, I've probably done.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
How did you find, but my thing is, how did you, How did you, I've come up with a lot of different ways to market. How did you figure that out from like talking to other people in the business or when you were just like in the grocery store, you're like, oh, I could put a leaflet here too because we saw a leaflet or how did you come up with that? Like, how did you know that that is even a marketing strategy you could use?
Yeah, you know, anywhere that you see something being advertised is a light bulb moment, in my opinion. So wherever, whether it's the side of a bus or a train, or in Vegas, for example, they have those vehicles that drive up and down the street with lighted billboards advertising.
Yeah.
Any and everything you see where you can put your name out there, that's what I did. So once you get the analytics of, okay, where did this client come from? So you ask each person, where did you hear about me from? And, you know, obviously the consensus is where we kind of started focusing more of. And the things that didn't pay off, we let go of.
Right. So like social media probably was a big thing for when you first.
It's the biggest thing,
yeah. So, okay, that makes actually a lot more sense to me. Maybe I should start doing things for my drag shows and grocery shopping carts. Get those 50-year-old women in there to come to my drag shows.
Even in stalls, bathroom stalls.
Oh, you're in a stall. That's funny.
You can do it anywhere. I mean, be creative.
Actually, that is a good idea. I should get my, I should get QR codes put on urinal cakes and just like and just hand them out to bathroom. Like, hey, here you go. That's kind of funny.
And handing out business cards to every single person you meet.
I need to go back into business cards, actually. I used to leave them on tables.
Yeah.
There's a queen in our city who just got on TV recently just doing an interview for something because of something in relation to that. But that's a good, that's a good idea. Okay, I'm going to pause here.
Hey there, fabulous listeners. Are you ready to experience a night of jaw-dropping glamour, fierce performances, and unforgettable moments? Well, mark your calendars because we have the perfect event for you. Presenting Drag Show at Triple Nickel Pub every month on the third Thursday, the Triple Nickel Pub transforms into the hottest spot in town for an incredible drag extravaganza. Prepare to be dazzled. This is not your ordinary drag show, my friends. We have something special in store for you. But first, let me tell you about the amazing perks you can enjoy. If you're one of the first 15 fabulous fans to grab a pre-sale ticket, guess what? Your admission is free. That's right, free. So don't wait. Get your tickets now and secure your spot in the front row of the astounding showcase. But wait, there's more. For the next 50 lucky individuals, pre-sale tickets are available for just $6. That's a steal for an unforgettable night of mind-blowing performances. Now, let's talk talent. Drag Show at Triple Nickel Pub boasts a monthly cast that is bursting with diversity and creativity. Each month, you'll be treated to a brand new lineup of incredibly talented performers who will leave you breathless. Your hosts for the evening are none other than the fabulous Coco Gem Holiday and the sensational Autumn Rains. They will guide you through an evening filled with laughter, surprises, and pure entertainment. Triple Nickel Pub, the home of a fabulous drag show, is not just an ordinary bar. It's a neighborhood gem that serves up a fantastic selection of beers and delicious liquors. And guess what? The bartenders are as friendly as they come, ensuring you have an amazing night from start to finish. And who's in charge of keeping the energy high all night long? It's none other than the incredible DJ Queer Cub. They'll be spinning the hottest beats, creating an electric atmosphere that will have you dancing and cheering all night. But that's not all, my friends. Throughout the year, we have a special treat in store for you. We're bringing headliners from RuPaul's Drag Race. Yes, you heard that right. Prepare to be starstruck as these iconic performers grace our stage and leave you begging for more. So gather your friends, bring your energy, and get ready to have the time of your life at Drag Show at Triple Nickel Pub. Join us at 3645 Southeast Belmont Street, Portland. Remember, tickets are selling fast, so visit www.thecdsdrag.com/nickel to secure your spot today. Remember, it's www.thecdsdrag.com/nickel. Don't miss out on this unforgettable night of laughter, love, and fierce performances. Get ready to experience the magic of Drag Show Triple Nickel Pub. We can't wait to see you there. Get your tickets now and get ready to be blown away.
So, switching gears to the next topic. So you have children.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I grew up with them. They're great. And the one thing is, like, so I just recently, not just recently, but over the last several years, I've been having some ups and downs with some of my drag kiddos. And I think this would be a really great, because I always thought you were a really great mom. And I think this would be a great opportunity to talk about three specific scenarios about making, building bridges with people who have difficulty understanding things. So let's give a scenario of one of your kiddos had their heart set on something, like an audition or whatever, and they didn't make it. What is some advice that you would give to the listeners about how to be able to make it through disappointment for something that they worked really hard for, they thought they were going to get, and then they didn't get?
Yeah, so it's kind of the same thing that I do for myself. Turn it into a learning lesson. And being really humble and not being so prideful, you know, don't let that fall of the disappointment or hurt stop you. Because if you get stuck in the fall, if you get stuck in the disappointment, you won't move forward. So just take it as a stepping stone of a learning lesson that either one, it's weeding out the stuff that you shouldn't be doing anyway, or two, what can I learn from this so that I can improve myself and move on and move forward, but not staying stuck. You've got to keep moving forward.
So that's really good. So the other question I had with this is, so what happens, like, how do you balance as a parent when, like, one of your children needs a little bit more attention than another one? So another, like, one of your kids is doing just fine, you know, going through it, they don't really need as much supervision or help or mentorship in that phase of their life that they're currently in, but the other one does. But your other child does start to notice that you're not paying as much attention to them because, one, they just don't need the attention. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance that? How do you balance giving children equal and absolutely complete love at the same time?
You know, I think it's just kind of like having a best friend or having a spouse or having a loved one. You have to dedicate, and I think, a certain amount of time to individualized attention based on that particular child's needs, so to mm-hmm. speak. So whether it be your best friend or your child or whatnot, you kind of start to know what their needs are, but you have to give them that individual time and attention and really, really have the connection. Give the eye contact, repeat back, you know, mirror so you know that they're listening. And just ask the questions, you know, what's going on in your life, you know, mm-hmm. what can I do to help you? You know, just making that individual quality time, I think anyway, is super important. Whether they're successful or not successful, but obviously sometimes one may need a little more love than the other, but making sure you give that individualized, specific attention and asking, you know, what you can do to be there and help.
Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense. I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she was, like, completely focusing on really cute videos of her grandchild, opposed to her son sitting next to her. So that was just, but it was really funny. So as we get to the end of this podcast, do you have any final words that you want to give the kiddos? Because my podcast range is usually, there are a lot of 20-year-olds who listen to this, some, and then, of course, some older folks who I just happen to know as well. But, you know, just like as they're merging into their 30s, they're starting to vote, they're, you know, hitting 25, they're getting lower car insurance. What kind of advice would you give for people who are in that transitional phase of life mm-hmm. and getting them prepared for what's coming next?
Yeah, that's a magic question for all of us. I mm-hmm. think that's just obviously an individual thing, but again, not letting setbacks set you back. You know, I sometimes have a mantra to myself of get up, dress up, show up. Even if nothing's going on. And if nothing's going on, then I need to make something go on, or I need to do something to better myself every day. So if it's a day where there's nothing going on, what can I do to better myself, or what can I do to make someone else's day special or helpful? So just having a lot of self-control, self-discipline, not being lazy, saving money, you know, and just being a nice person, mm-hmm. I think it's huge.
Yeah, I think that's really beautiful. I think that's a really great way to end this. So tell all the kids your social medias so you can have the 22-year-old home buyers who will need a way to find you.
Yeah, so I have a website, and it's L as in Lloyd, S as in Stacy, P as in Pratt, LSPRealEstateSolutions.com, or on Instagram and Facebook, we're on there as The Pratt Team, P-R-A-T-T.
Oh, that's good branding.
Hey.
Look at you. That's great branding. You know, I do want to actually say that out there. We don't talk about that a lot on the podcast, everybody, but make sure that you have great branding when it comes to your name. And I do mean, like, so a lot of the kids out there with your Venmos and your Cash Apps and your Venmos, Cash Apps, and your Instagrams, and even your TikToks, try to make sure that it's the same name across all platforms. It's one, it's so beautiful and great for branding. I know some of you can't get the names that you want. But it's great for branding. Make sure that you have a centralized idea about your marketing and how you want to present yourself out there. It's a really good tactic, because if anybody like looks at my business, CDS Drag, like it's all over the internet, it's all over social media, but my brand name for Coco Gem Holiday is everywhere. The only thing that's different is my Venmo, because I changed it to Tip Coco because it makes it easier in the middle of the show. But also Coco Gem Holiday is my business one on Venmo, so even if somebody did Coco Gem Holiday on there, they'd still get money to me. So it's just something to think about. Cool. Thanks everybody for listening. Say bye to the kids, Auntie Stacy.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.